So I just love that you.
Ah, que sí.
How's that? Oh. Can you hear me okay there? Okay, good. Thank you. So last week we spoke about how a being such as a bodhisattva, when they engage in activities which from the outside may look unwholesome, actually because of the motivation that they have, the outcome that comes from that action is actually virtuous and not non-virtuous. So this was presented, and it will be continued tonight, this is being presented so as to show the importance of the motivation. So in other words, whatever action we engage in, it's imperative that we check our motivation and ensure that our motivation is virtuous. Still okay at the back, sound right? A little bit more? Okay, and now Andy, how are we back there? Everyone awake. Okay. Tonight we're going to continue from the top of page 126. So we now come to the non-virtues, or the actions which were considered as non-virtuous in terms of speech. So we're going to start with lying. And as we know that the act of lying is generally considered to be non-virtuous. But here we're going to see in the presentation how if independent on the motivation, even an act of lying, a deceptive act, may not necessarily be non-virtuous. I'll just read what it says in the text for those who don't have the book. Lying in order to protect someone on the point of being killed or to protect goods belonging to the three jewels would also be permitted, but it is never right to deceive others in one's own interest.
I think that's
The illustration that is being referred to here is one that is set in old Tibet, of course. So if someone is out in the field and a wild animal runs past one, and then this is followed shortly afterwards by a hunter, and the hunter asks, which way did the wild animal go? And you saw this and you know which way the animal went, but you know what the hunter's intention is. The hunter, of course, wants to kill the animal. And then if compassion arises in you for this animal who's fleeing for its life and it's desperately trying not to be killed and properly eaten right now, compassion arises in you. And likewise, for the hunter, knowing that his activity that he wants to engage in is non-virtuous and will lead to the accumulation of karmic imprint that will lead to a rebirth in the hell realms, then again compassion arises within you. So with such a mind, with compassion for both the pursued animal as well as the pursuing hunter, if you then say, oh, actually the animal went in that direction, when you know very well it went in a different direction, then yes, one is telling a lie, but because of that power of the motivation, it is not non-virtuous. So by telling this untruth, one benefits, of course, the animal. The animal's life is protected and preserved, and the hunter is protected in terms of he's protected from engaging in a particularly negative activity, an activity that will be lead to the rebirth in probably the hell realms. So in this way, both parties are protected. So generally, when you talk about a situation like this, or refer to a situation like this, if we don't give any thought to the motivation, it's quite clear that a lie has been told, because you saw where the animal went, and you purposely saying something to deceive the hunter by telling them the animal went in a different direction. So if we don't talk about motivation, this is clearly a lie. However, if we talk about the motivation, and again, just to remind us that it's a specific motivation where the mind of the person is pervaded by minds of love and compassion, and this love and compassion is for both the pursued animal as well as the pursuing hunter. So with such a motivation, then actually we wouldn't even call this a lie.
Mm-hmm. 디피에 뉴리에라 그러면 지단에 이니시에는 주의책으로 그다음에 닝지에 훈련을 하게 제안이야 펜데시에 훈련을 하게 제가 있나 제가 있나 이 제거해 이게 디디가 된 말에
such an axia actually will not accumulate any non-virtue. So whilst this person has said to the hunter an untruth, it's not something that we would call a lie. And so whilst the person was clearly trying to deceive, because of the motivation, this is the key thing, that because of the presence of this motivation, we wouldn't call this a lie, and it wouldn't lead to the accumulation of negativities.
Yeah. 난 먼저 리와 되네기 주의시에 찍기니기 잠이 제 군에 가지 되네기 시에로 찍지 그거 확실하게
됐다. 그 코네케디 나나 소스 아스 군에 대한 정보 키어
특비 리와 나만이 리와 되네 군어 잠이 제 군에 가지 니네 시에로 고하고 그랬다.
그 코네디 주어다. 그 주어 탐페. 이게
지다.
네, 알겠습니다. So such an opportunity for us in terms of generating such a mind, these minds of love and compassion, these are opportunities that we do have. So an opportunity that we may well encounter is if, say, a friend of ours is going to go fishing, and so we know, of course, what the activity of fishing engages and what the activity of fishing means. So if then we generate strong and powerful love and compassion for both the fish that is going to be deprived of its life that it values so, and for the particularly powerful negative karma that the fisherman is going to accumulate, if then with this motivation of this pure motivation of love and compassion, we then were to say to our friend, actually, your plan for today is you're probably just going to waste your time, because a friend of mine actually went there just a couple of days ago to the same spot you had planned and reported that there were no fish, and all the fishermen there were very disappointed. So maybe we should rather do something else today. And so by saying this to them with this pure motivation, then quite possibly some benefit will come from this, and your friend will be persuaded not to go fishing, but to rather do something else. But possibly not. But nevertheless, due to this good motivation, through telling these deceptive words, this untruth, one does not accumulate any negativity. If you have a good relationship with this fisherman, then on one hand it's more likely you're going to generate compassion for the suffering that your dear friend is going to encounter the future through engaging in this activity. Also, your friend is more likely to be influenced by what you have to say and more likely to believe you, and happy to take an alternative plan of action for the day and maybe spend the time with you. So if you have a good relationship with the person, it's much more likely you'll be able to persuade your friend from engaging in non-virtue. And by doing so, you yourself will not incur any non-virtue, even though you have deceived them. Secondly, the text here talks about it's permissible to lie about in order to protect goods belonging to the three jewels. So this could be something like if someone were to come to the Dharma Center or into the Gompa here, and you have a strong doubt about this person's honesty, and you think they may be coming here to see if there's anything worth taking for themselves. And possibly they may be asked, where do you store your offerings? Do you have somewhere safe to store your offerings, somewhere that cannot be taken, etc.? And you have some doubt. And thinking again, not just about protecting the goods, but thinking with this mind of love and compassion for the great negativity that this person would accrue through engaging in stealing either offerings to the financial offerings to the Dharma Center or offerings or objects here of some value, thinking of the great negativity that they would accumulate and the suffering that would come from that, and thereby generating a motivation of love and compassion, then by redirecting their attention, or by saying, oh, we don't accept any offerings, or we don't have anything made from valuable substances, everything is just made from, I don't know, plastic. Then by telling an untruth like that, motivated by a pure motivation, a motivation of love and compassion, then whilst or despite one actually deceiving them, one is not accruing any negativity.
Yeah. 他就是通过弱化的技术胸部紧张，那么弱化第二通过就胸肌紧张呢，胸部的变化就胸肌啊，像顶起来胸切起来多啊。现在到你当大家在年纪大，年纪大过的变化结束了，可不要了。现在可能的弱化几天基本上，你可以往上些，可以就是啊娘，那你会切起来多少的年纪在那当了几天？那第二切一个就是可能我说的第二嘛，就是第二天就变化起来嘛，就。那你给我几个年会把几怕丢去呢？你别说怕丢去，不知道会几块钱丢啥子嘞？上面关你个嘞，你给上面东西借钱，人家关你巴拉的呀？那你借两毛嘛？你借呢？像那你借的话，你基本上怕一些，就是关你全部没有这些，或卡瓦的借完呢？你有工作上的关你卡瓦差完呢？那几块钱还是几块钱还是？
The second of the non-virtues relating to speech is that of sowing discord or divisive speech. So generally divisive speech is where a person talks in a way so as to separate two people who are perhaps good friends or have a close relationship or who are just harmonious or get on well. And so through speaking perhaps behind one's back, one then actually destroys a relationship or harms a relationship between two people. So this is divisive speech, and it's something that is particularly negative. However, here we come to an illustration of where actually, again, dependent on the motivation, there are times when one can engage in such speech, and it has no negative, there is no negative karma is accumulated from doing this. So the illustration that is given here is if there are two good friends, and one has a good disposition, a wholesome disposition, and enjoys engaging in virtuous activities, helping people, and this kind of thing, but their good friend is quite the opposite, and they're more attracted maybe to the dark side, and they prefer to engage in nefarious activities. So these two good friends are actually very different personalities. But the one with this, the more negative personality, they are the dominant in the friendship. And they have a negative influence on their friend who has a very good character, and a character that a personality that enjoys engaging in virtue and being of help to others. So what we have here is the friend who is more attracted to unwholesome activities would be a bad influence on their other friend and lead them away from engaging in virtue and lead them towards more harmful behavior. Then that person, would incur negativity of they themselves in engaging in negativities as well as from encouraging their friend to do so. Then their friend would accrue negative karma because they would be engaging in negativities that otherwise wouldn't have, and they will be accruing far less virtue because they're now being drawn to non-virtuous activities. So us now as the third person has this awareness or is aware of this situation, then if compassion and love arises strongly in us for the suffering results that will come for both of these individuals, and we then perhaps warn the one person against spending too much time with the other because of the possible outcome of this friendship. If we were to do that, we would not accrue any negativities, although we are actually serving to separate two good friends.
In the same way, when you jump up, never say Kavachi, digging the jitu, digging jitu, but when you Kavachi, Tuna, Ramadu, and other, so then when you share the Kumo Hassan number for me, and Nigel, and get some of Tanji, share and some sort of people, you are Kavachi, Madu, and Kavachi, and Magic.
With this pure and wholesome motivation to try and protect both people from harm, then whether we are successful in separating them or dividing these two friends, or to breaking this friendship or making them more distant, whether we are successful or not, we will not actually accrue any faults ourselves or any negativities ourselves, again, because of the pure motivation.
人家给县政府卡卡去出白银呢，还是贫困的是呢？他卡卡去毛都马街白银呢，他几块钱一笔，搞过去去切忘记切了借钱，那你会讲话广播对对对不错，就像人家一个给我几块钱的，马几块钱的又穷穷穷穿的，你马几笔巧了去切去搞过吧，就像过去人家借白银在县政府卡卡去出白银呢，那比率巧了就穷出来的话。其他人家当一个天地上面不健康，一个天地下面当你不要用。
And if one is successful in actually dividing these two friends, or maybe ending their friendship, then the one friend who has who has this inclination towards virtue, has a personality that likes to engage in wholesome activities and to be of help to others, then they will continue to express this side to themselves and develop it and will grow, and of course they will accumulate a lot of virtue through doing so. So this would have been a successful outcome. And for the other person who has this inclination to engage in non-virtue, well, they probably will continue to do that because this is their way of thinking, and they see that this is actually activities that are worthwhile engaging in. So they'll probably continue doing that. However, they will no longer be able to lead their friend in such a direction. So they will not be doing that. And that itself is a good thing. So generally in the world when we think of a two friends who are harmonious or people have a relationship, if this relationship if a third person comes and breaks up that relationship or separates them, sows discord, then we see this as really quite a nasty thing, certainly an unwholesome thing to engage in, and hence it's included in the non-virtues and something to avoid. However, we need that, so that would be looking at in the worldly way, and it is the way we would usually see it too. However, looking at it from a Dharma perspective, there are times when a more dominant person in a friendship or in a relationship, if they are having a harmful impact on their friend, then actually, if that their way of thinking, behaving cannot be changed, then it will be better if they actually were no longer together, if the one was no longer to negatively influence the other. So when we from the outside, we see this kind of thing, and we see someone maybe is dividing two friends, we may think this is really quite awful. But if we were to investigate the situation, actually there is the possibility that it's been done with a very pure motivation and for a very good reason. The third of the verbal non-virtues is, of course, that of harsh speech. And as we know in the world generally, harsh speech is non-virtuous. We encourage, of course, to speak gently and kindly to others, and likewise, you know, we don't like to be spoken to in a coarse or a rude or abusive manner. So generally, harsh speech is non-virtuous and is to be avoided. However, once again, depending on the motivation and the situation, the circumstances, there could be times when one needs to engage or speak in a coarse manner, in a harsh manner. For example, there was an example given here, is with someone who is engaging in non-virtue, and if we were to ask them politely or in a gentle way, or to keep asking them in a gentle way, they would pay us no attention and just ignore us, and continue to accumulate the causes of future suffering, perhaps continue to act in a way that is harming others, etc. So with this a motivation of love and compassion for the harm that this person is engaging in and the suffering that they will definitely have to experience in the future, with this motivation of love and compassion to speak to them in a harsh manner so as to turn them away from non-virtue, then this would not be negative action. This would not be non-virtuous activity in itself. So yes, sometimes it is necessary to talk in a very sharp manner. So to take an illustration of some of maybe the wrathful protectors, these images you would have seen, or maybe the Yidam Yamantaka. So if you've seen these images, you'll know they don't have a very gentle or pleasant appearance. Rather, they've got horns and they've got fangs and wild, wrathful eyes and many strong, powerful arms holding dangerous implements and the like. So if one doesn't have understanding of what this is about and have faith based on that understanding, then it would be kind of difficult to approach, to turn mentally towards such a yidam and go for refuge to such a yidam. It would be, in fact, very difficult to do so.
Now, 那你这那么就对过了嘛？这样啦，我哎，今天挣钱也想不到，对吧？就决定你今天见面了，就一天了，我们今天见面了，我们今天见面了。现在今天见面了，我估计这样的话，你还是你知道，我做上楼梯这些小伙子，你做是干啥了？下去知道？就是一天的两毛毛的点的钱，结果拿住了点，拿住了，拿的可是是，拿这个钱就丢嘛，这个。你今天给找过去，就回来给过他不那么简单，上对桥就回来的。今天约完了，你两个人就回来。
For those who know a bit about the Yamataka practice, will know that Yamataka is in essence Manjushri, it's a form of Manjushri. So Manjushri, we know Manjushri, there's a statue there, so the expression is very peaceful and very gentle. So we can look towards that manifestation of the Buddha's mind, and we could much more easily go to refuge to such a form, or to have faith and trust in such a form. However, sometimes to subdue certain minds, or to be effective in certain situations, then a gentle disposition is not most effective. Sometimes one needs a huge, rough, or powerful personality to subdue particularly coarse minds. And in those instances, then that is when more rougher speech and the like is required.
And
if when one has come to understand the Yamataka practice well, then one will understand that one's actually using the taking this mind of anger and transforming it into the path. So in this way, one takes this mind of anger and arises in this powerful, wrathful form and implements, etc., these very strong arms and holding these variety of dangerous implements and the like. And what one is doing here is transforming this mind of anger, this mind of rage, into the path. Then the fourth of the four non-virtues of speech is worthless chatter or gossip, idle speech. So this is usually considered something to avoid, something that leads to a non-virtuous outcome. However, here again, it is an illustration of how sometimes it can be beneficial. So the illustration that's given is someone, if someone doesn't engage in much virtue, but you have a connection with them and you can have the wish to lead them towards virtue. So you have this virtuous motivation, and knowing that this person is very chatty and likes to talk a lot, then you engage with them in a way that they would appreciate, and you form a relationship with them, and you maybe go for a walk and talking and the like. And let's say you're walking around the Dharma Center and you're talking about all the events in the world, etc. And then you eventually you come as far as the Gompa here, and you come inside, and now you can talk about, so this is a place of meditation, and then you can talk about what meditation is, etc. And you can then, in that way, skillfully turn the subject away from the various activities of the world to actually the subject of meditation, to developing the mind, to subduing the mind, etc. So here again, due to a motivation of love and compassion, a motivation that is wanting to be of benefit to others, a motivation wanting to lead others from non-virtue and towards virtue, through engaging in something that externally looks like a non-virtuous act, that of idle speech or just like what you have here, worthless chatter, then actually because of that motivation, no non-virtue is accumulated by yourself, but benefits can come to the other person. If we think of someone that we have a good relationship with, perhaps friends or acquaintances, or maybe even our own children, if they, we know them well, we have a good connection with them, but we know they have no interest generally, they don't seem to engage much in virtuous activities. It's not something they think about, it's not something that they tend to do at all. And you know they have the means or the ability to do so, but they don't have the knowledge, and therefore they don't have any interest or motivation, and they don't have any predispositions leading them in the direction of engaging in virtue. However, you have a good relationship with them, and because you have this basis of a good relationship, you can use it to help them engage in virtue, and do so maybe in a way that's skillful, in a way that's indirect. So to give an easy example, because we're all here, if we were to come to the Dharma Center with a friend and we show them around and we're having a chat, we walk around the stupa talking, we bring them here, we inside and we show them the images and we talk about some of the meaning, etc. And we start to move the conversation in that way. And then there's a donation box, I think there's one by the door, and they may well ask, why do you have this? And then we turn the conversation in that direction. And if we're doing this with the intention that knowing that this person has the ability to engage in virtue, for example, to make donations and the like, and we're doing it with a pure motivation, a motivation so that they accumulate virtue and for the positive results that will come from this in the future, and furthermore that they will generate a habit of engaging in virtue, then if we indirectly encourage them to engage in virtuous activities, such as making donations to the Dharma Center, offering to the Three Jewels or to the monastery and the ordained and the like, if we were to encourage them to act in virtuous ways like these or in others, then this has a great beneficial effect for them, because of course they're accumulating virtue and they are sowing the seeds to generate a habit and eventually generate a delight in engaging in virtue. So this is kind of similar to the former illustration, where if a thief came into the gompa and we lied to them and told them, oh, there's nothing of value here and we don't collect any donations, so really this, we have nothing of value here, therefore anyone can come have a look around, etc. In the same way that we sing something that we otherwise wouldn't, but so as to protect them from harming themselves, here with our friend, when we bring them here and we start talking to them about virtue and the like, doing it in a way that they would be receptive to, again, from the outside, this may appear a bit, this may appear deceitful, but because of the motivation to be of benefit to this other person, no negativity is accumulated by ourselves, and actually they are, this person will accumulate a lot of benefit from such acts. Through engaging with skillful means with someone that we have an appropriate relationship with, then from such an activity, virtue will certainly come forward to yourself. You will accumulate good karma because of your motivation. And your friend, if they do engage in virtuous activity due to your skillful means, then they too will accumulate virtue. And this activity will of course lead to joy in your own mind. You'll rejoice yourself in the virtue your friend has accumulated. And your friend, this may be their first contact with the Dharma. It may be their first connection that they are creating. And through this, they may slowly come to be more involved in the Dharma, and through this they develop their mind, they pacify their mind, and they themselves become happier and have less problems. And for doing that, they will, of course, be happier in themselves, and they'll always appreciate the help that you, their friend, gave them. So from acting in this way, with skillful means, and with someone that you have an appropriate relationship with, then benefits can come for both of you.
Lama Zopa himself, he also encourages people to act skillfully like this. So a way that you may well have heard, or something you may have seen, is he'll encourage people to bring their dogs to, for example, the stupa, and walk their dogs around the stupa. Or I've heard of people who will bring a fish bowl with some fish inside and take their fish around the stupa. Because what you have here are animals who don't have the intelligence and certainly therefore not the interest to engage in such an activity. They don't have the opportunity to engage in such an activity. But by their owner taking them around the stupa, they themselves, unexpectedly in this life as an animal, get the opportunity to accumulate this virtue. So this is skillful means to help someone accumulate virtue that they otherwise wouldn't have. And similarly, when if we think of all the activities that have happened in this area over now several decades, with the construction of the Dharma Center and then later Gyatso building the monastery, and as well as this huge stupa. So these were all built with the motivation that people will come here and accumulate virtue that will lead to the pacification of non-virtuous minds, the growth and development of virtuous minds, and the progression towards the final goals of enlightenment. So with such good motivations, then a tremendous service is given to the wider community. And even from what I've seen here with the stupa, some people do come to specifically do circumambulation, but many visitors come, and these visitors would otherwise never come to see something like the representation of the mind of enlightenment, the stupa. And similarly with the kangaroos in the area, the kangaroos don't usually have an opportunity to hop around a stupa or to be in its presence and the like. So all of this has come about because of the motivation that people have to be of benefit to others in direct and indirect ways. In direct and indirect ways.
Sikdu maa chaa, ane chaa maa diye, ane miyo waa rebe,
These seven acts we've looked at now, sorry, it was first, it was killing, it was stealing, it was celibacy, or sexual misconduct, maybe we'd say. Then it was, tonight we've looked at lying, and we've looked at harsh speech and divisive speech, and now lastly, this worthless chatter. So all seven generally are acts to be avoided. In most situations are acts to be avoided because they lead to suffering in the future. The accumulation of negative karma and suffering in the future and lead to harm to others. However, we've now heard for each of these instances that if one has the motivation of love and compassion, a genuine, sincere motivation to be of benefit to others, then engaging in these seemingly non-virtuous actions actually will be of benefit to others and not lead to the accumulation of non-virtue by oneself. So that's the case with these seven that we've looked at. Then in terms of the three mental non-virtuous acts, so that of covetousness and harmful intent and wrong views. So these three, if we do anything with them, with either of these minds as a motivation, then this is of course contrary to a virtuous mind, contrary to a mind that will engage in virtue, and therefore only negativities come from minds, from activities engaged in under the influence of covetousness, harmful intent, or wrong views. What we've seen in this presentation that we looked at last week and this week thus far is that the motivation is really central. Whatever activity we engage in, whether it turns out to be non-virtuous or virtuous, is dependent on the mind motivating that act, and therefore the motivation is primary. So here, if we've generated a powerful and genuine or sincere motivation to be of benefit to others, then virtue will follow from this act. But if our motivation is afflicted, if the afflictions are dominant, then non-virtue will be accumulated, suffering results will have to be experienced. So once again, this motivation, this is what is crucial. Therefore, it's imperative that before engaging in an act, we use our introspection and we come to see what is present, what minds are behind this act, what our motivation is. And if, because we know now that a virtuous motivation will lead to accumulation of positive karma, of wholesome karma. But if we have a motivation of, say, competitiveness, or we have a motivation that is hypocritical, that is insincere, where we're trying to present ourselves in a certain way, but really it is completely fake. then such a motivation will not lead to the accumulation of virtue. So therefore we need to be sure that whatever we engage in is free from a selfish motivation, but is rather dominated by a mind thinking of the benefit of others.
지난 대지시에 이게 주인공들 주인공의 대비 말에 넘나 나는 또 지금 지난 지금이 영자라의 지 주인공의 대비 말에 끼셔야네. 나 지금 영자랑 또 끼셔라 지금이네. 난 주인공의 세계 주인공으로 지금 등급하다. 그와서 주인공이 말로 주인공 말에 다 좀 가오고 시에 다 안 되고 와. 당연히 아주 최저로 보내 삼다 시에만은 주인 말에 나오고 시. 因为在以前是不好干的，钱不好干的，但是不能干的，就是看你哪里写文章，读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读读
Generally in the world, if we see one of these acts we've been hearing about tonight, so killing, stealing, sexual misconduct and the like, lying, sowing discord and the like. If we see or hear these acts, generally in the world, they are going to be as they appear. They're going to be non-virtuous acts. They're going to have a motivation of an afflicted mind that will lead to the accumulation of negative karma and suffering in the future. Because that's how these acts usually are performed in the world. However, with the knowledge that we have about the Dharma, then for us the situation can be different. It can be different. And it's different if we are aware of our motivation, and we make sure that our motivation is one of genuine love and compassion, and not one that is hypocritical or fake in some way. And if our motivation then is one of genuine love and compassion, then even though the outer activity or the speech, the physical activity or the verbal activity, appears to be non-virtuous, such as telling a white lie and the like, it actually will become a virtuous act because of this particular motivation that we have generated. Now we come, for those who have the book, we're coming to the stories at the top of page 127. So the first story is about Geshe Ben. So Geshe Ben is quite famous. We'll hear a few stories about him. So he one day his sponsors were coming to visit him. So these were people who provided his means to sustain himself. So they were people of importance to him. So knowing they were coming, he prepared his room nicely, cleaned it, and made the altar look very good, and everything was quite impressive. And then he sat down, having prepared his home, and it was looking good. He sat down now and took a moment to think of his motivation. He thought, actually, I've made the shrine look really very beautiful today. I've put out nice offerings and cleaned everything well. But my motivation is hypocritical. I'm wanting to put on this good display to people who are of importance to me. And this is contrary to the person I'm trying to become. So seeing that his motivation was impure, and that from having this kind of motivation, virtue does not follow. He generated strong regret for what he did, and wanting to be sincere to himself, he actually picked up some dust and sprinkled it over the shrine and made it look more like it usually looks. And in that way, he was presenting himself in a truer light and not in a hypocritical way. Then at that time, there was a teacher in India called Padampa Sangye, and he heard about this. And when he heard about it, he said, that was actually the best offering in Tibet, because that was a sincere and genuine offering.
So
Geshe Benguti, he was someone who, when he was younger maybe, previously, he actually engaged in quite some non-virtuous behavior. And so now he was making great effort here to change his mind, to develop his mind, to develop his mind. So we've heard now one illustration of when his sponsors came to visit him. Another time, when he went to his sponsors, he had been served some tea, and his sponsors had then left the room, thinking to himself, actually, back in my hermitage, I don't have any tea. I have nothing to drink when I get home. So maybe I'll just help myself a bit. So he went so far as to take his hand and put it in the pouch of tea, and just before he was going to steal some, he caught himself. He saw his motivation, realized what he was doing, and he pulled his hand out, called the sponsors in, and said, look what I'm doing, this hand, it's stealing, it's stealing. Cut it off, cut it off. The third illustration the text presents is one relating to Lama Atisha. So he said that his ordination vows he had kept without any difficulty and kept them well. And these bodhisattvas, occasionally he had transgressed them, but that was quite rare. However, his tantric vows, his vows of secret mantra, those he transgressed more often. However, as soon as he transgressed them, he was aware of that and he immediately would confess. So he carried around a mandala set with him and he'd generate regret and he'd confess his transgression that he'd just done and offer a mandala so as to generate virtue and purify the transgression he had just done. Or he also would he also carried around with him a small stupa, and he would put the stupa down and he would circumambulate the stupa as a way to try and purify, as a way to purify his transgressions. So here what he was doing is as soon as he was aware of any transgression, of any non-virtuous mind, he would immediately confess and purify it. Now another story about Geshe Vinguti. So he was at the summer festival that was called Pinyugil. And so Pinyugil, he was sitting amongst a large gathering of monks. And he was somewhere in the middle, he wasn't near the front of the gathering. And being the summer festival, then yogurt was being distributed to all the monks. And this time quite a sizable amount of this delicacy was being distributed. And because he wasn't so near the front, he wasn't going to be one of the first to get. And he got a bit anxious and a bit concerned that maybe this delicious yogurt is going to be finished before it gets to him, or he'll just get half a spoonful or something. And he got quite anxious. And then he became aware of this motivation, this greed in his mind. And whilst he hadn't done anything, he was just sitting there, he became filled with remorse because of this selfish motivation or the self-centered mind that had been dominating him. And he actually took his bowl and turned it upside down. So when one of the monks came, who was distributing the yogurt, came to give him his share, he refused to take it because he said, "I already have had my share."
Yeah,
Again tonight, in tonight's class, we've had now a number of stories, and we had these the presentation on these verbal non-virtues that can be done with a good motivation and the like. So why have we had so many stories tonight and also in previous weeks, etc.? So here, one of the key messages, in particular last week and tonight, that's coming out is the importance of motivation. And it's imperative that we watch our motivation and we try to see when our motivation is going away from where it should be. In other words, when we're not thinking in the way that we would like to be thinking, when we don't have a mind that is motivated, or we don't have a mind that is infused by the virtuous mind that we want to have present in our minds, such as minds of love, minds of compassion and the like. So we need to always try and be aware of when our mind is going in another direction and we have an afflicted mind that is dominant and present. And as soon as we see that, we need to, as soon as we notice this, generate regret. This is not the kind of mind I want, this is not the kind of person I want to be, and turn our mind away from such a place and turn it towards a virtuous mind. In other words, immediately try to generate a virtuous mind such as love, compassion and the like. So this is something that we all need to do. And if we generate such minds, then our behavior will reflect such minds and our speech will reflect such minds. So every day or every evening, we hopefully have the opportunity to take some minutes and sit quietly and reflect on our day. And of course, each of us every day, we meet many people, especially you tend to meet many people every day and engage in a variety of different activities. And look back on the day and try and recall what you did, what you said, etc. And try and recall what the motivation was.
And where the motivation was wholesome, then generate great joy that you engage in activities or you had meetings or encounters with others where your mind was dominated by virtuous minds, minds such as love and compassion, minds such as altruism and the like, and generate great joy and make the commitment to do continue to act in such a way. And where you notice that actually at a particular time I wasn't mindful and therefore my mind, my motivation was afflicted and I was perhaps dominated by more selfish minds thinking about my own needs and the like, then generate regret and engage in purification. So in particular, generate a strong mind of regret, thinking how this is not the kind of person you want to be, and thinking about the negative results that come from such a mind, and how having such a mind prevents one from being of great benefit to others, and prevents one from accumulating virtue so as to be of benefit to others. So now with this mind of regret clearly present, we turn our mind towards the three jewels, who show the way that we want to act, the example that we want to follow, and the method, I teach the method that we want to implement. And then we generate the mind of bodhicitta, that we engage in this practice for the benefit of others, to attain enlightenment for their sake. And then, whatever time we have, we engage in an antidotal practice, whether it's reciting some mantra, or engaging in meditation on love or compassion, or emptiness, and the like. In this way, we both rejoice in the virtue that we've accumulated that day and set the motivation to continue to do so, and we purify any negativities that we've accumulated. So this is something we should try and do every evening, and likewise in the morning we should try and set our motivation for the day, that whomever we meet, whatever activity we engage in, that we will do so with a virtuous mind dominant, with a mind wanting to be of lasting benefit to others. Dominance. Try to set that motivation, remind ourselves of that motivation during the day, and then review in the evening. So if we can do this, then tonight's class and the previous class, these would have been worthwhile. Because if we're just sitting here and it's kind of like watching TV or going to the theatre and there's something happening in front, and we're hearing some stories and we think, oh, these are quite entertaining about a world in the distant past, then that's fair enough, but very little benefit will come from this. And certainly no mental developments will come from this, and lasting happiness will come from this. So rather, the meaning behind these stories, these need to be taken on board and seen as personal advice for all of us. And if we take it in that way, and then we take the second step of trying to cultivate and maintain these virtuous minds, then definitely improvement will come. So this is my request to all of you, and I do need to say that this is also something that I recognize that is difficult to do, to generate new habits, to generate virtuous habits, and to break down non-virtuous or unwholesome habitual habits, habitual patterns that you have. It is difficult to do, and I know this because it's difficult for me too, but in the same way that I ask all of you to engage in this, I too need to and will engage in compassion practice in the evening, setting a good motivation in the morning, and sustaining that throughout the day. So this is something I request of all of you, and I share the commitment that I will do this myself. So next week we end it in the Nikatu. And then next week we're going to start at the top of page 128 with a story about a Brahmin called Vati. So that will be where we will start next week. And then some questions tonight. Then thank you very much. Have a lovely week and see you next week.